And for your second song, across the page, number 36, Wonderful Words of Life. And I will be taking a selection after this. What is your selection? 230. Song number 230, the Christian hymnal.
Of love from the soul.
Good evening. So in for a few moments of meditation, it's been some time I've been pondering on this thing, what makes a hymn have so much depth and quality? Why does it seem like these hymns stay around, like they don't fade away? And I'd like to try to answer that maybe from my perspective, some here this evening. Another question is, why are hymns able to feed the deep spiritual things of our lives and of our soul, the inner man? Hymn writers like Fanny Crosby often feel richer. Hymns written by people like Fanny Crosby often feel richer because they were written as poetic, compact theology meant to be read, meditated upon, and sung collectively. In contrast, Christian contemporary music, CCM, prioritizes emotional resonance, personal experience, and repetitive refrains, which some find less nourishing. And to me, it often seems like, not always across the board, but it does seem like it's a feed me, or it's how I feel, the CCM type music, where hymns are our adoration to a holy and sovereign God. Ephesians 5, 19 through 21, speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. The hymn, The Love of God, has meant a lot to me over the last number of years. And the verse in particular that has always stood out to me is the verse that reads like this: could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies a parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forever more endure the saints' and angels' song. So, just for curiosity's sake, I asked Google approximately how many gallons of water is in the Atlantic Ocean, and this is what it says: 82 quintillion gallons. So, it also said that if the ocean waters were distributed evenly across the Earth's population, every person would get trillions of gallons. The Pacific Ocean contains approximately 187 quintillion gallons of water. So we think of that. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill or a pen, and every man a writer, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. 82 plus 187, whatever that would be, plus the Indian Ocean. That's what it would take. Is that really what God means to me? Is he that important in my life? Our Sunday school lesson there in Acts, and thinking of Paul and the other ones there mentioned, Barnabas, Stephen, has been very encouraging to me. Many things that we can learn from them in our endeavor to reach others for Christ. I'd like to read also 1 Peter 2, beginning with verse 20. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto ye were called, but Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, but by whose stripes you were healed. For you were a sheep gone astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. This is our God. This is our Father. This is what the hymns were written about. It is impossible to calculate a precise statistical percentage, but a significant portion of widely loved, enduring gospel hymns were penned directly out of deep grief, trauma, or terminal illness. Rather than an exact figure, this high frequency highlights a rich history of Christians turning to music as an emotional and spiritual outlet in their darkest hours. Many of the most famous examples of gospel music and classic hymns were born directly from intense personal heartbreak. It Is Well With My Soul, written by Horatio Spafford after he lost his fortune in the Chicago fire and his four young daughters tragically drowned in a shipwreck. Precious Lord, Take My Hand, composed by Thomas A. Dorsey, the father of gospel music, while grieving the sudden deaths of his wife and newborn son in 1932. What a Friend We Have in Jesus, penned by Joseph Scriven, out of the deep solitude following the drowning death of his fiancée the day before their wedding. Abide With Me, written by Henry Light, as he was actively dying of tuberculosis. Another interesting part is Fanny Crosby treated hymns as a teaching tool. Songs like Blessed Assurance or To God Be the Glory are packed with biblical narratives, doctrines of Trinity, and the plan of redemption. Modern worship often leans towards subjective feeling, I love you, you love me, or repeating a single phrase for atmospheric effect. I think we have so much to cherish and value in our hymns and our songbooks today. It's more than just words on paper, of course. These, as has been mentioned, were written. I believe the people were writing them had a direct connection with God, and it was an outlet for them, as was mentioned. In closing, I'd like to read Psalm 63. Beginning with verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice.
My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy righteous hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. As we heard this morning, David had quite a colorful history. And yet, it seemed when he would get into those difficult places, he knew who to turn to. He knew who was going to be able to help him out. And he would cry out to God, "O God, thou art my God." And such a blessing to be able to claim him as our God and our Father. Why don't we stand for a word of prayer? John Mishler, would you lead us in prayer?
I believe we now need to sing "The Love of God," song number 82. And after this song, the children will sing some songs. Grace Raymer will lead them so they can come up after this song. The Christian hymnal, I'm sorry. Song number 82 in the Christian hymnal.
Can never tell the joys beyond the highest star.
Thank you, Grace, for taking that. Does someone have a selection out of either hymnal?
24 in the Christian hymnal.
24 in the Christian hymnal. I stand amazed in the presence. After this song, there's some ladies that are going to have a mother-daughter group. They can come out after this song. 24 in the Christian hymnal.
So I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean.
Thank you for that. Does anyone have a selection? 482. 482 in the Christian hymnal? 482 in the Christian hymnal. The Solid Rock. This time, Marcus will have something to share on his song.
It'll be song number 508 in the Christian hymnal. So the children sang this in the school program, and it was the phrase that kind of stood out to me was there in the chorus, footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. And I don't know why that just kind of stuck out to me. What did he mean? What did the songwriter mean by that? How do we see that glow? And this, as we go through this song, it kind of traces the journey of life a little bit. Some of us are called one direction and some another. Covers several things here. And it seems like when we come to church on Sunday and we talk about these things and have these great Sunday school discussions, and it's great. And sometimes the way maybe seems fairly clear what we need to do, but then we go to work on Monday morning and things happen and it's more difficult to see the right path sometimes. And for me anyway, things happen that we aren't prepared for, and sort of have our things, I think we have our things figured out, and then we have something unexpected happens and throws us off, you know, out of kilter a little bit, and we don't follow the path of Jesus the way we ought to. I was reminded of the verse in Psalm 119, 105, where it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So this time I'm going to ask one of these to lead this song for us.
"508, Christian Hymnal. Someone have one more selection. What? 200. Christian or church? 272. "Jesus, the light of the world." On the last verse of this song, the chorus can come forward. And then after that, one of the messengers can close. 272.
Oh, yeah. All right, so we heard a little bit about hymns tonight, and one of the first hymns that I thought of was By the River. And so we were talking about it, and we were like, we'd like to have everybody that can just come up here and join us up front, and we'll sing By the River. If you can't come up, that's perfectly fine. Just join us from where you're sitting. But we'd like to have everybody just come up here, and we're going to sing By the River. So if you guys can come up at this point, let's crowd as many people up front as we can.
Jesus will ever
Jesus will.